Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll
see. That's Benny E. King. Welcome back, Seven Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Nicole Galinas. She's the author of After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street in Washington. And Nicole, I've been saying that to my audience for a long time. Before 07, I was saying that I felt that there was a conflict. There was a conflict between a conflict of interest, a cross purposes between Wall Street and Main Street. And so, you know, you've been writing recently, and we're reporting a lot recently on the big banks and the government's picking winners and losers, and by picking winners, they by default they choose the losers, and that's all of this. The issue here, Nicole, is how much of what they've done. There's no way to know, as there's a term for this, and I always forget what the term is. There's no really way to know whether the government involvement has saved something that you know could have gotten really ugly. But at what point in time does it move? Does it transfer from being a savior to something that hurts us? And what I worry about is the longer we go, the more the government gets involved in the marketplace and picking winners and losers, whether it be banks or GM or unions or whatever, union pensions or whatever. The longer the government gets involved in that, the less likely the marketplace will heal itself, the longer it will take, and the harder it will be for small business owners to grow their businesses and to get capital that they need. And that's where we are. It seems to me that's where we are right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that the divide between Wall Street and Main Street would go away if the governments were to allow a way for Wall Street firms and large commercial banks to be subject to consistent, predictable market discipline. And you do that through the old-fashioned rules, go back to limits on borrowing so they cannot take on infinite leverage, push these financial instruments onto public exchanges so that the market and regulators can see where the risk is. Those are the very simple rules.
So you're saying by some form of banking financial regulation, limit the kind of leverage a bank can have?
Sure, and it's just like a traffic light. The government tells you to stop at a red light, go at a green light. But other than that, they largely stay out of your driving business, or they should. Same thing with financial firms. You need some basic rules set down by the government. Otherwise, you just have chaos, as we've seen over the past few years since financial firms created these instruments that escaped those rules. Really starting in the late 80s and mostly in the 1990s when you had the tremendous growth of these so-called exotic financial instruments. Only thing really exotic about them was that they escaped the old-fashioned rules that allowed these firms to fail without taking the economy down with them.
Well, I'll tell you, Nicole, in 97, when I started doing my show, I started telling small business owners they needed to have their lead bank needed to be an independent community bank. And it was fine. I didn't mind if they wanted to have a relationship with a big business, a big bank, but they needed to have their lead relationship with an independent community bank. And I'll tell you, 12 years later, 10 years later, that advice became a prophecy when the big banks, you know, cut small business owners completely off, and small banks did not do that. And so that's the reason why I believe I care about the big banks, but you know what? They can take care of themselves. The people I worry about the most are the independent community banks, and God help America. God help small business. God help the world. If we don't have a healthy, if we can't make sure that we have a healthy independent community banking system, what do you think?
Right. You want the financial firms to be supporting the rest of the economy, not competing with it. And to the extent that these firms grow too large or too complex to fail, they're competing with small businesses with an unfair advantage. If you're a small bank, you'd rather put your depositors' money in a Goldman Sachs bond rather than in a small business loan because it is seen as the conservative things to do. So
yeah.
These firms have an unfair call on the world's capital right now.
Nicole, I've only got about 30 seconds. Have we learned anything at all in the last 3 years?
Well, the good thing is that the public certainly understands this now. You know, no one besides a few financial industry wonks understood term too big to fail up until, you know, 2008, really,
mm-hmm.
and now it's on everybody's lips. So that's a positive development.
So you think now if politicians get the courage to talk about this and try to legislate something that prevent too big to fail, that it'll gain some traction with the populace, with the electorate?
It would have traction with the populace, but the problem is Washington acts like this problem is over.
Right. That's what we got to. That's the problem. We got to have the courage. Got to wrap it up. Thanks, Nicole. I'll be back after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.